Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabong tree.
Hello, dear listeners. My name is Nick Hart. This is the platform of Achtung Millwall. I'm going to welcome you to Oztung Millwall. From Sydney to the Swan River, from Van Diemen's Land to the shores of Darwin and the Great Northern Territories, this show is produced by Jimmy Webb in Perth and is dedicated to all Millwall fans who have made the trip to the great southern continent, known by some as Terra Australis. Now, if you're living down under and interested in keeping in touch with fellow Millwall fans, please do get in touch with our Achtung email, achtungmillwall@gmail.com, or via Twitter at achtungmillwall, or indeed with Jimmy direct. He's on Twitter at jimmfc, J-I-M-M-F-C. We hope you enjoy this series of shows. And to finish, something I've always wanted to say, good day.
This episode of Oztung Millwall features somebody who probably isn't a Millwall supporter, but has Millwall connections. Played for the Lions between 1994 and 1997. So I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Jason Van Bloek. Jason, thanks for joining us, and how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, just looking forward to getting some real football back to life. You're in Sydney, aren't you?
Yeah, I just live north of Sydney now.
So, let's go about as of the current day, local football, is that getting back to normal over there, or is there any signs of it?
I think probably middle of June. The Rugby League is back in action since the weekend, so that's a little bit of something to watch on TV, which was quite entertaining with no crowd.
Yeah, I watched the Rabbitohs game last night just to get some live sport in the system.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Jason, signed for Millwall in August 94.
Yes.
Bit of a frustrating signing from what I read. I believe that you played in a friendly against Real Sociedad at the Den. Do you remember that
game? Yes. So Dave Mitchell was at Millwall at the time, and I was in Holland. And I had 2 years spell in Holland, and I wanted another challenge. And Dave and I were roommates in the national team prior to me coming to Millwall. And I rang up Dave, and Mick McCarthy was the manager at the time. And I just see if you could talk to Mick to see if I could get a trial at Millwall.
And you had a trial. You played that game. Mick was obviously impressed because I read the program notes, but you had work permit problems. To get a permit to actually come and play for us?
It wasn't problems. It was basically, I had to apply through to get a work permit. I was, because I had enough international caps at that time, I had about 12 or 13, that made me eligible enough to get a work visa. So the process was I had to basically just leave the country for 5 weeks for them to process a work visa. That was just a routine back then.
Okay, and so the work visa came on, and obviously you needed to get yourself a little bit fit, I guess, before...
I can't remember, to be honest, but I think as I returned and started training, I think it was a Coca-Cola Cup match against Sutherland. Sunderland up there, and I think I ended up breaking two ribs. So then I was out for another 4 to 5 weeks of games. So yeah, the first few months at Millwall were a little bit tricky.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people when you first joined didn't know whether you were a left back or a left midfielder, because you sort of were able to play in both positions. What was your preferred position to be playing in?
I was brought up, you know, a good player can play anywhere, especially a left footer. You know, very rare. You know, in those days, there weren't very many left footers around who could play several positions. That's why I think Mick sort of could use me in several positions. I end up playing a couple of times in midfield with Andy Roberts. I end up playing left fullback. I end up playing left wing. With the national team, when I played for the Socceroos, I ended up playing wing back, so left wing back, which was a lot more running, a lot more K's in the legs. So yeah, I could play several positions, which sort of was handy at that time for Millwall.
Yeah, I've got down 27 Socceroos caps. Is that true, or was there?
No, I got a few more. I think I got about 30.
Yeah, good old Wikipedia. But one goal. One goal. I've got that you scored against Croatia in 92, and it's actually on YouTube.
I've probably got a few more, but I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Not too many. I'm more like a Ryan Giggs. I used to set up a lot.
Well, the goal I did see against Croatia was like a towering header at the far post, which...
That's a rare
Yeah, well, it's on YouTube, so can refresh your memory over that. So.
Okay.
So came on a substitute against Tranmere at home, 17th of September 94. We lost 3-1. And then your first start, as you say, was Sunderland in the League Cup, where a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, and that's where I think I ended up. Yeah, I had not broken a couple of ribs. I think then I trained the next that week, and I think I didn't realise it broke, and then I basically that Tuesday at training, I ended up having a collision with somebody else and damaging him, and actually I ended up going, you know, getting x-rays and they were broken, yeah.
So what was the difference between playing in Holland to playing in England? How more physical is it in playing in English conditions?
The thing with the game, I think it took me at least half a dozen games to adjust to the pace of the UK game. The speed was just a lot more mobile, a lot more up and down. Where the Dutch game was just more technical, wasn't it? It was just the system they played. It was just a more technical game there.
Now I'm gonna cast your memory back to and when we've spoken to supporters who have been on previous shows talking about their most favourite games, and you played in one of the games that comes up more often than not. So I'm going to take you back to Arsenal away in the FA Cup at Highbury.
Yes.
You had a major part in setting up the first goal, didn't you, for that game? Do you remember?
Yeah, I did. I remember coming. I think I played a 1-2 with, I don't know who it was. I think it could have been Alistair Edwards, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They come back, then I got the ball back off him, and then I thought edge of the 18-yard box, and I thought I'd just try and knock it across the box, and then the end of it was Mark
Dear. Yeah, it certainly is. A lot of supporters have put that in their top three games of all time.
Yeah, that FA Cup run was a good moment in my career, and I think it was a good moment, in Millwall as well. You know, I think we had a fantastic run. Unfortunately, I think it ended a little bit sour with a silly handball against QPR, especially that game, we were all over him, and just to give away a silly penalty, that was a little bit.
Yeah, so just hold that thought, because I was going to talk about this cup run, because I was at Highbury that night, but I was in the Arsenal end, so I was behind the goal that Mark Beard scored. A good friend of mine is an Arsenal supporter, so when I was living over there, whenever we had a period where Arsenal and Millwall kept playing each other. So whenever they played at Millwall, he'd come and sit or stand on the terraces at then, or in with me in the home end. And then when we played at Highbury, I used to go and sit with him in the Arsenal end. So I was in the home end that night. And then the next round we drew Chelsea, which was interesting both on and off the pitch. I think it's you know, there's no love lost between the two sets of supporters there.
No.
Did you volunteer to take one of the penalties in the shootout, or were you like forced to do it?
I volunteered, because prior to 93, and before Australia, I was an Australian team, and we did for going through the World Cup qualifiers. So one of the games was against Canada, home and away. I think the fifth penalty taker, but I ended up didn't have to take the fifth penalty penalty spot. And then obviously we played Argentina. Prior to the cup run, I had a bit of experience. I was 26 at the time, and so I was a bit more football mature than probably the younger boys, like Marty, Ben Thatcher, who still young at that stage. Yeah. So I was one of probably the calmer heads in the squad.
Obviously, we scored all our penalties, but when we were at that game and Rhino stood up and started walking, I think everybody in the Millwall crowd went, oh, because Rhino wasn't known for his goal scoring. Oh, Keith Stevens wasn't known for his goal scoring. And then he walks up and takes this penalty. And I'm not sure many people in the crowd were watching that one. Lovely fella, would give his heart and soul for Millwall. But was there anyone else rather than Rhino that wanted to take it? Or did he go, I'm taking this? And he just whacked it in the top corner from memory.
It's a long time ago. I can't. I don't know. I think he did want to take it. I think looking back, he's pretty confident going up there. And actually, the penalty I've seen on YouTube a few times. The penalty was, one of the better ones as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The first five guys were confident, very confident of taking the penalty, and five after the fifth guy. God knows what would have happened after that.
Yeah, but so we beat Chelsea on penalties, which was a fantastic night, and then we go on to QPR away, and as you said, we dominated that game, and even now I can still remember Damien Webber's handball, I think it was.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I played in midfield that game, like I said. I played several positions, and I played in midfield with Andy Roberts. I think the next game after that was against Man United, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it would have been, yeah.
So, after the Chelsea match, that was the longest match ever. That was, it seemed to go on forever and ever. And then, when Cashy Keller saved the penalty, which was surprising. Cashy was half blind at night time in games, because especially on crosses, I don't know if anyone knew it, on crosses you could hardly see the ball sometimes because you have to wear the thickest glasses. So, saving the penalty was, outstanding. And, that year was just, phenomenal, especially the cup run. So, yeah.
And then, obviously, the following year, change of manager, change of administration came into the club as well. So it wasn't the greatest couple of years after that with Mick McCarthy leaving. You played your last game against Colchester in the auto windscreen shields. That's it. There weren't many people there. It was a game where, I don't know if you remember the goalkeeper, Andrew Iger.
No, he
made his only appearance, and he was meant to be quite rated, but I think he got lobbed. Two of the three goals in this game, and never came on, never played again. And nor did you. You came on as a substitute, and that was in January 97. And then it looked like Manchester City were seeing if you wanted to go and play up there.
Yeah. So, what happened about that season? I think it was two days before the season had a start. I got injured. So the beginning of the season was pretty rough. I was out for 3 or 4 months with a knee injury. And then trying to get fit and back into the squad I wasn't really in the manager's eyes, in his future plan.
Yeah.
I think that last season, it wasn't the best. Unfortunately, it was time to move on. I think we got relegated the season before. So yeah, and then going into that my last year of my contract, it wasn't really considering where we had been prior to that, and you know what, we had lost a lot of the quality players that we had, and things moved on, and you know, when you have quality players and you don't replace them, then you know, it's hard, really. It's hard and you got to keep up with the changes, you know, and bring new players and lead new players. But you know, unfortunately, we didn't really do that.
So how do you look back on your Millwall career then? Do you look at it as if it was like one of maybe missed opportunities or a bit frustrating maybe at times? Or did you enjoy it when you were playing? Did you enjoy it?
Phenomenal! It was an experience and art. But you know, to go to England, you know, and play one game was, you know, a highlight of my career. But to play, you know, pretty much, I don't have any games to play for Milan, really 100 or 90.
It was 80 appearances, 8 subs, and you scored 2 goals.
Yeah, you know, for me it was a blessing, and to play for Milan was just, you know, a privilege, to be honest. I enjoyed every moment, I enjoyed every game, good or bad. It was a little bit, it changed after Mick left, and then Ian Evans took over for a while, which was great. And then when he left, things sort of just, you know, didn't have the stability that, you know, those two coaches, you know, and respect that those two coaches had. You know, for the players and the players for the coaches. But that's football. And but going back, looking back, you know, each game, cup games, home games, away games, it was always a great experience from a boy from Sydney.
Can I just touch on your Socceroos career? Because obviously playing for your country is, you know, the absolute highlight, I suppose, of any player's, you know, career. What was your most memorable part of playing for the Socceroos?
I think just the green gold on every time when I could. There were matches. World Cup qualifier against Argentina, Maradona, you know, Batistuta, you know, those players like that was just a highlight. And, you know, not many players can turn around and say they've played against one of the best players in the world. So, looking back, I played with and against some great players.
And when you played against, like, Argentina, was you able to swap shirts at the end of the game, or did you keep your shirt?
I was in a long line. I was in a long line to try and get Maradona short. But what someone didn't realise was that, you know, you don't have to swap shirts all the time. So after the game in Argentina at River Plate Stadium, I ended up swapping shorts with Maradona. So I've got his famous number 10 shorts.
Have you still got them?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've framed them at home. I've got the second best thing was Maradona shorts.
I was going to ask that because you see some footballers in their houses and they've got memorabilia all over the wall, more framed, and you go into and you see other houses and you wouldn't know that they were a professional footballer. Do you have like a little corner of your memorabilia hanging up on the wall there? Or?
No, mine are in the cupboard. I'm in the stairs.
And when you get called up by the Socceroos and you get a cap, or they say you get a cap and you say you've got 30-odd caps, what do you actually get? Do you physically get a cap? Because I know that's how it all started, was when England called up players, they were given a cap. What do you get as a Socceroo?
What happened, they did start giving you caps in the 90s, but that got faded out. And what they do, like in the cricket, they just give you a cap with the number on the side that you were Socceroo, you know, 369 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of Socceroo 300 such and such, and my dad was a Socceroo.
That's right, yeah.
I think it was 100 and something before me. So, yeah, so it ended up just in your, like an English cap.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those, you know, just with the number on the side.
And is there a third generation of Van Blurk going to be playing for Australia?
I hope so, but she's female.
Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, you know. So.
No. So, but she's only 6 at the moment, so there's plenty of time. I'm working on it.
She's going to be the next Sam Kerr, is she then?
Yeah, I hope so. And she's not too bad.
Good. Well, good luck for her. We'll be looking out for young Van Blurt when she makes her Socceroos debut. So.
Oh, I hope so.
So what are you involved with football at all nowadays, or are you completely away from it?
When I first come back from England in 06, I did do a lot of coaching for several years, but as time moved on, last couple of years I haven't really coached, not too much. Of course, a family and just life in general, really. So I'll probably slowly get back into it. So at the moment, I'm not really doing much. I'm living about an hour and a half north of Sydney on the coast. I do a lot of surfing, fishing, like activities, bushwalking. So just enjoying life.
Excellent.
Really,
nothing wrong with that. Well, I just want to say thank you for your time, Jason. It's been fascinating. It's always interesting to hear a player's perspective of playing the game, let alone just playing at Millwall.
Like I said, I enjoy more Millwall. It was a beautiful time. I appreciate all the support. And, Millwall, they do give you stick, but you just got to appreciate that, if you go out there and give you 110%, they're more than happy that you're out there giving it 110%.
It's a unique club. I don't know of another club like it.
No, and you know what? And it's had a lot of good Aussie players that come through there.
They have.
Which is great. And, it's a sort of good stepping stone for good young Aussie players to learn their trade and move on to wherever they move on to.
Are you still in touch with any of the players or the Aussie players in particular that you play
with? I'm more in touch with Keith Stevens, to be honest. He lives up on the Gold Coast, up in Queensland.
Yeah, he's not far from you, is he?
Wherever I go up there, I catch up with him. And also, give him a call every now and then, see how he's doing. So, more Keith Stevens, Dave Mitchell. That's about it, really.
I bumped into Alistair Edwards a couple of years ago and had a good chat to him about the Arsenal game as well. So.
Yeah.
Because he's a Perth lad, is he? So he comes from this part of the world. Lovely. Well, Jason, again, thanks for your time.
No worries.
It's been really great, and I really appreciate that. And look after yourself, enjoy your surfing, and next time you talk to Keith Stevens, give him our regards, will you?
I will.
Thanks
for
all.
Cheers.
Cheers, Jason. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.